flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
It's Joe Pott on this Sunday. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line here on Camo X. Glad you are along. And we have, as I said, lots to do. Pretty full program here on this Sunday morning. And we'll keep things going right now as we join, as we welcome Kevin Wheeler. Of course, you hear him on the DGS each weekday and on the Gas House Gang in the noon hour on Camo X Sports and all the socials. Wheels, what's happening, man?
How much, Joe? How you doing, man?
I am doing well. Were you surprised? You sounded surprised.
Well, no. You want me to let you into the world that I'm in the moment?
Let me into the world, yes.
All right, so I'm sitting in the office getting ready to talk to you and talk some baseball, and I got my little protein shake in the morning, and I have that with a banana, and then I didn't realize that I had the protein shake open, and I went to shake it again,
I
shook it all over the room.
Happy Sunday morning.
I was in the middle of wiping stuff up off the desk, and thankfully it did not hit the computer or my little bit of broadcast equipment here, so nothing but cosmetic damage, but still kind of stupid.
Well, thanks for taking some time this morning. Both Baseball America and MLB Pipeline have come out with their most recent top 100 prospects list, which I said going to the break. This is where Wheels shines. I know this is really what you enjoy digging into, and I think probably more than definitely more than anybody else here in the local area, you really enjoy digging into those prospects. And I think whenever we're looking to get some info on that, like, you're the go-to guy around here because you're usually following those folks that a lot of people aren't. And I think that's great because that's what I know a lot of people are interested in. They want to hear about what is next, right? What's coming up. So for the Cardinals specifically, three prospects appearing on the top 100 in varying spots in the two lists, but very close. And the top of that, probably no surprises, J.J. Weatherholt.
Yeah, this is you're right, Joe. This is something I do, even just separate from work, that I just love doing. I've been covering prospects since I was in college. And it started when I was a college player, and I was following my teammates or guys that we played against. And then just kind of grew from there. And for a while, I was the minor league expert for the Sporting News. So got a chance to do a lot of that stuff for real. And then I've just been doing it kind of like as a side hustle and fun. And it helps with Cardinals coverage, too. And I look at these guys, Joe, and like when you're a consensus top 100 type guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you take J.J. Weatherholt, Tink Hentz, Quinn Matthews. Those guys are in everybody's top 100. It's not one group. It's four or five different. It's like some people like to call them the third-party evaluators, right? They're not the same as team evaluators, and teams will all have different grades, values, assessments of each of these players. So some might like Quinn Matthews more, others might like Weatherholt. But these are three guys that the baseball world is really high on, and I'm particularly high on Weatherholt. You know, I watch a good bit of college baseball in addition to following the Major League Baseball draft process, you know, in the lead up, the reading the evaluations and all that. And he's just a hitter, man. You know, he's not huge. He's not, you know, a 6'3", 225-pound guy like Bryce Harper was as a minor league player, as a prospect. But he's big enough, right? He's the same size as guys like Chase Utley. He's bigger than a lot of the other dudes that are up there already putting up good numbers. And he just flat out rakes, man. He knows what he's doing at the plate. In addition to having a nice swing and good bat speed and all that stuff, he just knows how to take an at bat. And when you look at what he did last year, just out of college, he came in and played about 30 games at Palm Beach, which is a terrible hitters league, by the way. The Florida State League is one of the is the worst hitters league in the minors. It's big ballparks because they're big enough for all the teams that use them for spring training, right? The major league teams. So it's big ballparks, no elevation. Having played college at Miami, Joe, yeah. I can tell you, the ball doesn't travel when you're at or below sea level. You don't get that little extra boost. And he jumped right in there straight out of college. And by the way, straight out of a college year where he missed a lot of time with a hamstring injury. So he didn't have a full college season ramp up. And he jumped right in and hit almost 300, hit for some power, walked more than he struck out, drove in 20 runs in 29 games. I mean, like, this guy can flat out hit. He's going to come fast. The only question about him is, you know, he's a shortstop now. They list him as that. That's what he was at West Virginia when he was in college. He's probably, well, he's not going to be that for the Cardinals. That's Mason Wynn's job, and it's going to be Mason Wynn's job for a long time. But he wasn't really projected to stay there necessarily. But he can play second base, which he's done. You could play him at third base, and you could also teach him to play some outfield because he runs well. The only thing that's not really great about him is he's not a big arm. Not, you know, he doesn't have a great throwing arm. It's probably average-ish for a major leaguer. So it's still good enough, but it's not necessarily elite. But he can flat-out hit, Joe, and he's going to be coming up quick. I'm guessing they'll start him at Peoria unless he's just amazing in spring training. But he'll finish the year either at Springfield or Memphis, I would think. And, you know, next year this time we'll be talking about him possibly being on the team, although it could happen this year, I would guess.
So that's where I was going to go, because you and I have chatted about this in other situations, because the college player, that's changing if a guy is playing their full sometimes 5 years in college, right? And it's the opportunity. Some of them have a better opportunity to stick around and get some NIL money. And so you're getting an older player if they have gone through their entire college eligibility. But as you mentioned, he's also already played so well at the Florida State League that he really could make a very quick ascension, couldn't he?
I don't think he could. I think he will. You know, when you look at the highest level of college baseball, it's a little different. But when you're looking at the top tier, SEC, ACC, Big 12, Big 10, what used to be called the Pac-12, like those teams out west, you know, the top tier of college baseball is really good. I mean, that's A-ball. You know, that to me, the best of the best, when it's good on good, you're basically two high A teams. And, you know, this is a guy that has hit 450 in college. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't have any trouble with it. And I think he's going to be a guy that doesn't spend much more time, if any, at A-ball. It might be just to start the year. And then you're just a phone call away, man. Once you're at Double-A, you're a phone call away. And because he can just flat-out hit. And the power is not in doubt. It's just a question of how much it is. Is he a 15, 18-homer guy? Is he 20 to 25? I kind of like that low 20s as the range because he hits the ball so consistently hard. You know, I talked about it, Joe. I think, you know, comps are difficult because they're not always fair to a player, because what you're trying to do is give you a name that kind of reminds you of the player, as opposed to this guy's going to be this player. But I'd say your low end, it's another Brendan Donovan. That's your low end. That's your worst case scenario. And I think your best case scenario is it might be a guy like Chase Utley, who hits 20-25 home runs, hits 300, and is just a quality middle of the order guy.
So let's talk about Quinn Matthews, the next guy on that list. Tink Hentz, as you mentioned, is also on the list. We've talked a lot about him, a little bit of a slower rise. Quinn Matthews, exactly the opposite, ripping through the minors last year, appearing at every single level, and then obviously the Cards minor league pitcher of the year. Do we see Quinn Matthews this year?
Yeah, I think so. I'd be shocked if he's not. And Baseball America rated him the best pitcher in the minor leagues last year. He was the minor league pitcher of the year, according to Baseball America. He's an interesting guy, right? He's not a low draft pick. He's not a Cinderella story out of nowhere. I mean, a fourth round pick is a pretty high pick in baseball. It's not unusual for fourth round picks to be quality players. And coming out of Stanford, He's not a kid. No, he's 24 now. He just turned 24 after the season, so this will be his age 24 season. But you don't want to waste too much time.
Right.
You know, you don't want this guy debuting when he's 26. You'd love to get this guy to the big leagues as soon as possible because he's shown that he's capable. I mean, this guy played at four levels last year. He did struggle at Memphis a little bit. But keeping in mind that it was the very end of the year, he had never pitched that long before, right? This was his first professional season, and you know he made 26 starts, and he'd never really gone that long in college. You don't have that kind of a workload, so it's hard to know whether that was because it was Memphis, because it was AAA and it's older, better hitters, or if it's just a little fatigue, probably a little bit of both. But a dude that strikes out 200 guys in 140 innings has got to be interesting, especially because he's not a flamethrower. He's not a 100-mile-an-hour lefty, right? He can get it up there. Like, he'll get up there 96, 97 at times, which is something he didn't do in college. He pitched lower than that in college, which is why he was drafted where he was, because if you look at him outside of that, he's got four pitches that he can use. He's got a great changeup, which is probably where he gets most of his strikeouts against minor league hitters that can't read it out of the hand. His fastball's good, and the fastball's getting better as he's getting stronger. So he's listed, Joe, like coming out of college at like 6'5", 185, which is really skinny for 6'5". But he's been gaining weight, and as he's gaining weight and getting stronger, he's throwing harder. So, you know, he's an interesting guy that he's advanced, but he's also made some jumps in velocity because of strength and conditioning and just, like, you know, learning how to eat, I guess. So he's interesting, and to me it would be a flat-out shock if he's not in the big leagues at some point this year.
And
he'll start at Memphis. There's no point in going below that right for him. And if he's pitching well and they have a need, he'll be up.
And especially that's what I was going to say. You know, if we're to believe that the Cardinals need to move Nolan Arenado, and they so far have not moved Nolan Arenado, and so they are, at least as John Mozeliak tells us, perhaps kind of stuck as far as other moves. They could use, they're going to be needing to plug some holes in the pitching staff. There's a lot of good pieces back, but there's opportunity there.
Yeah, I really think it would be a waste of a year if we don't see several of these young starters like Quinn Matthews. And look, with Matthews, I think they're super high on him. They're going to be aggressive. When he's ready, they'll make space for him. I would hope that the same is going to be true for Michael McGreevy.
Right.
He's not going to make any top 100 lists, but you know he threw 27. He made 27 starts at Memphis last year and got better as the year went. Right, a little rough early, but got better as the year went. And he's not as big a strikeout guy. He's definitely more of the, you know, pitch to contact, get ground balls. He strikes people out all right, but I mean it's probably not going to be great in the big leagues. But then he had that audition here, and you could see it. You know, he's very gifted. I don't think he's what he showed us in those games where I think he posted a sub 2 ERA with the Cardinals. He's not that guy. But he's a 24-year-old as well. Like Gordon Graceffo's 24. Like, these are three guys that you're probably going to need to see this year and probably see a good bit of, so you have an idea of what you're going to be starting 2026 with. If two of those guys can take rotation spots for 2026, that's a lot of money you don't have to spend on bulk. And maybe you spend it on high-end something, or you spend it somewhere else where you think you're going to need it.
Real quick on McGreevy, the thing that impressed me most was exactly as you said. He made the full season starts, season of starts at Memphis. Couple that with the three starts he made in St. Louis at the end of the year. This is a guy that has given you already a full season. You worry less about the fact that he might not be able to take
a
full season.
Nah, he threw 173 innings last year. He's good to go.
Right.
You know, that's a guy that can stop. And you know, Quinn Matthews threw 140 innings last year. Both of those guys are probably pretty good to go. You know, if you want them to throw 170, 180 innings, it'll be performance related if they don't, and not physical, right? It won't be protecting. And then that leaves us with Hintz, you know, and he's another guy. You brought him up already. He's one of these guys that's consensus top 100. He's got electric stuff, better stuff than Quinn Matthews, better stuff than McGreevy that we talked about. But he's just not really been able to pitch for a full season, right? I mean, his career high, he was drafted in 2020, so obviously one of the worst years you could be drafted. So he didn't get to pitch professionally that year. He only threw 8 innings in 2021, and then it was 52, 96, and 79. For a starting pitcher, you know, 80, 90 innings is not a lot, and it's not even close to the workload. You know, he only averaged about 4 innings per start last year and only made 20 starts because of some minor injuries. You know, the question with Tink is basically when can you get him built up, because he throws mid to upper 90s when he wants it. He's got one of those Bugs Bunny changeups that gets a lot of swing and miss too. When you throw hard with a good changeup, you're in a great spot. So, like, he's got the physical ability to get big leaguers out. Now the question is, when's he ready to be able to start every fifth day and give you 5 or 6 innings every time out? And that's kind of what we're going to start finding out, I would think, early this year. But I love this guy, and there have been some people that think, Joe, that he may end up being a reliever. He's not real big. You know, he's 6'1", 190 pounds. You know, people always kind of give questions to short right-handers. But if he goes to the pen, that could be your next closer. That could be your next guy that, you know, sits at 97, 98 and just blows people away. So I don't know that they want that. I certainly don't think I want that. But if it goes that way, then, man, he could be a weapon.
Wheels, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking some time this morning to chat about it. It's always fun to chat baseball with you, and get that studio cleaned up, man.
I'm almost there, man. I was almost there when you guys went to me, and that was why I sounded weird, and now I got to go finish cleaning up my mess.
Well, I appreciate it. Good to
Glad
hear from
to do,
you,
buddy.
As always. That's Kevin Wheeler with us here talking some baseball. We got to keep things moving here. The Billikens head coach, Josh Schertz, coming up on the other side of the break. It's the Gray Bar, sports on a Sunday morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio. I'm Joe Pott, in for Tom Ackerman. We're coming back on KMOX.